T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Coy Roofing Renovations, that's who Jason needs to call. Let's be real about it. You got things going on around your house. You can help with those too. You know, little happenstances, right? You got water coming out of your walls. You got roof issues. They could be related. You notice those? Call our man Chris McCauley. He'll come out. He'll assess the damage. Very likely could get it covered for you by your insurance company. No out-of-pocket cost. Did it for me? Do it for you. When he comes out, let him know you heard about him on the Jason John Show. He's going to throw in a free roofing upgrade.
487-7096 is how you call up Chris McCauley. He'll be out there in a jiffy with his team. Again, 487-7096, but the most popular roofing company. Got a ton of five-star reviews. You can check out for yourself over on Facebook if you like me and you'd like to check out the reviews before you purchase a service. Promise you, you're going to like what you see. Check out the website, McCauleyRoofingLLC.com. Again, if you got a small problem, he's going to tell you. You got a small problem, you got a big one, he's going to take care of that. So what else have you got to worry about? Nothing. Call him up and lock it in, 901-487-7096. It's McCauley Roofing and Renovation.
So yesterday at this time, we talked about the GOATs of the offense in the history of the NFL, according to ESPN.com. Well, the defensive side is out, and I mean, look, we can't just, you know, not show the defense love, right? It's a very important side of the ball, maybe the most important side of the ball. So let's go through these. So, again, this is all according to ESPN.com and their 50 experts, reporters, et cetera. The best edge rusher of all time, according to ESPN, receiving 40 of 50 votes. LT.
Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor, 10 Pro Bowl selections, 142 sacks, 9 picks. Second was Reggie White.
How about that?
Reggie White got second most votes. He got 8.
They got that right.
He had 198 sacks for his career. But yes.
Chattanooga's finest, Reggie White.
That's right. That's right. And like you said, former Memphis Showboat. Now, do you think of Reggie more as a Packer or an Eagle?
He was a ball as well, but we don't talk about that, do we?
No, we
not on this show.
We've forgiven him.
Yes. I think of him more as a Packer or an Eagle? That's a good question. The Eagles were the one when he was with Jerome Brown. They were just nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I do think of him more as a Packer and
I agree.
The terror he brought to my Bears.
I agree. Okay, best defensive tackle is Aaron Donald.
How about that?
39 of 50.
The best ever, still active.
8 selections, 127 games, 98 sacks, 440 tackles, 23 forced fumbles. He has recorded at least 8 sacks in each of his 8 seasons. He is the only DT in NFL history to record 20 sacks in a season. That was 2018. Yeah,
wow.
He's built different.
Wow.
I mean, I know they kind of put him as DT, and he is, but isn't he more like a – he's an edge rusher dressed up as a DT?
Well, you could say that most edge rushers who are strong, most linemen who are strong as him going to be on the edge. But, no, I mean, he's straight DT, creates absolute havoc doing it through the middle of the defense usually. So, I mean, this is what he is. They got Joe Green behind him, Mean Joe Green, Deacon Jones. It's crazy that you got the best we've ever seen actually playing the position right now and probably at the peak of his powers, right? He's in his prime right now.
That's
you're
true.
Getting to see it. So basically respect Aaron Donald while he's out there because you're watching the best.
Yes,
I agree.
Joe Green got 5 votes. Deacon Jones got 3.
Yep.
So best linebacker of all time.
Warren Sapp got a vote too, by the way.
Yeah. Best linebacker of all time. This one was very split because there have been so many great linebackers. Mm-hmm. So this one
much tougher
makes sense. But – receiving 23 of 50 votes was Ray Lewis, a longtime Baltimore Raven, 2,050 sacks, tackles, 41 and a half sacks, 31 picks, 19 forced fumbles, led the Ravens in tackles in 14 of his 17 seasons with the team. Obviously, we know they won the Super Bowl in 2000 because of that defense. Two-time defensive player of the year. He's the only player in NFL history to have 40 sacks and 30 picks in a career. So he stands alone in that regard. Dick Butkus got 13 votes.
Yeah.
Mike Bear. Singletary got 4 votes.
So Bears got 17 votes.
And then it was split like, you know, Junior Seau got one. Derek Lambert, Brooks got one. Yeah, a couple other guys. So, I think you go a lot of different ways. Ray Lewis feels like the answer, though, so I have no issues here.
Singletary was really good in his time, and he was more of a orchestrator, I guess is the way I would put
for
it.
Sure.
He wasn't a dog like some of these other cats that are on this list.
Yeah,
I remember
like you
him.
Said, he was the orchestrator of that 85 defense, which you could argue is the best defense we've ever seen.
Yeah, you'd see the eyes peering over the line.
Samurai
and,
Mike.
Yeah, like so that was a different type of player, but still, yeah, he'd be right there with my vote, man.
I think they got the right guy. I do think it's Ray Lewis and his will alone. Ray made everybody around him better. Now, the best linebackers do that. Ray clearly did. You loved playing with him for those of his teammates.
He was scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Super intimidating. So Oof. Ray Lewis gets he probably got the right guy at the top
probably
there.
Right.
Yeah, best cornerback of all time, receiving 32 of 50 votes. Maybe it shouldn't be surprising because I assume you could go a lot of different ways, but primetime. Primetime did indeed get 32 of 50. 53 picks for his career. 8 Pro Bowl selections, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. 2011.
Loved watching him. Oh my God.
He's one of two players. There's another in NFL history to score touchdowns 6 different ways: pick, punt return, kick return, reception, fumble recovery, and rushing.
Wow.
The other.
That's an interesting one.
The other.
Hester.
Don Hutson. No, I'm just kidding.
Don.
It's Bill Dudley, obviously, guys.
Of course, how could we leave
out
Bill?
How could we miss it?
Did y'all really not know that?
I didn't know.
Only thing with Deion, I guess the reason why some have picked Charles Woods and others Rod is because he wasn't a physical
right.
DB. He didn't want to come up and stop the run. Like, lockdown corner, there was no question about it. Who could turn it around, take it to the house, right? That ability to turn an interception into a pick six was the thing that set him apart. But he didn't like coming up and tackling, though. Wasn't his thing. You've certainly had more physical corners. I think that's why they got Woodson on here, 5 votes. Both Woodsons, Charles, Rod Woodson, and Darrell Revis, you know, about Revis.
See, I remember Rod votes. As a safety.
Yeah, he should be in the safety. Rod should be in the safety.
Right.
He should be behind Lott
in
the safety slot. I'm with you on that.
But I guess he did play, you know.
They gave him 5 votes.
I guess he played DB somewhere, CB somewhere, right?
Yes, certainly. He's the only player in the past 60 years to have
Pittsburgh.
5 seasons with at least 6 interceptions and a pick 6.
Yeah.
1,483 return yards, 320 came at age 35
or older. Charles Woodson, he went to safety, too, with Green Bay there. I mean, I just
remember him mostly a corner.
Yeah.
He did switch it over.
He did at the very end of his career. Because, like, you don't
was
have
the Raiders,
speed.
He was a corner, right?
The Raiders, he was definitely a corner, yeah.
Rod started corner, went safety later? Rod Woodson.
Yeah. I think that's what I remember. I remember Rod Woodson with the Raiders as a free safety.
How often were they splitting out Deion as a receiver? I don't remember that as much. I remember him as the DB, and he'd take that ball to the house, and he'd have that one hand out, and he'd hold the ball to the camera. That was so great.
Not a ton. Didn't Dallas and the San Francisco do it a little bit? I'm sure Atlanta stretched him out there a little bit.
Trick plays and little usage here and there.
It wasn't super heavy, though. Wasn't super heavy.
Yeah, so anyway, I have no issues. I will not protest over this, although I think Charles Woodson probably should have gotten more than 5 votes. Ronnie Lott is the best safety of all time. He got 27 of 50 votes.
Ed Reed is right there.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Buffalo.
Ronnie got 27. Ed Reed got 15 votes. So.
One of two defensive players with 4 Super Bowl championships and 10 Pro Bowls. 5 seasons of at least 100 tackles. Yeah, no, Ed Reed was dominant in his day with the Ravens there. There's no doubt about that. Brian Dawkins is another good one. I think that's a good submission. Brian Dawkins was him. Eagles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
This thing was like Wolverine, I want to say.
Yeah, man. Kicker
Fun
punter.
Player.
He's a beast.
Kicker punter, Adam Vinatieri. They got that. I mean, I'm sure that's like, you know, a little triggering for punters to be lumped into this group, though.
The Colts.
Like, that's too, more Patriots. More Patriots. But he did play for the
Colts at the end there, I guess.
He played for the Colts for 13 years.
Dang.
Yeah, I knew he played a long time there.
I didn't realize he played there that long.
He's a longer Colt than he was a Patriot.
That's nuts. That's kind of crazy. I would never have guessed that.
But only made 3 Pro Bowls?
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Low
it is
for
weird.
A guy as studly as he was.
He's the NFL's all-time leader in career points.
Well,
2,600.
Gotti not on this list.
Gotti not on this list. Shane Leckler should be on this list, and he's not.
Justin Tucker got 21 votes, though. Mr. 66-yarder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do that last year.
Mm-hmm. They were going to put Gotti on until he went to the Titans, and then they decided to pull him off the list.
Look, you can joke about it. That hurt his legacy. That time hurt it. Look, much like anybody else, like Julio Jones,
right.
Steven Gostkowski, that ain't the franchise to go to. Randy Moss, it never works out. It never works out when you go to the Titans at the end of your career, all right?
Don't do it, is what you're saying?
Don't. It's a waste because they don't have the tools around you. You're not. This is not New England with Tom Brady that can prop you up.
That
right?
man couldn't hit a field goal if it looked at him.
Bro missed like eight in a row. I mean, it was.
He came back and got special teams player of the week.
It was. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he did a nice comeback that week.
Tell me the last guy.
All kickers go through something.
Tell me the last guy
that
wasn't drafted by the Titans but joined the Titans and his career was better for that. I'll wait. It doesn't happen.
The last free agent they added?
It can be like the last person that went to the Titans, right? That wasn't drafted by them, that was better off for having stopped in.
Before the playoff game, it was Ryan Tannehill very easily.
Well,
very easily was Ryan Tannehill.
And then we saw what happened.
He had one bad game, and you've called it that his whole career.
Well,
he was fantastic play-action quarterback up until that game and led them to a one seed last year with Derrick Henry out for a majority of it. So,
yeah.
Had been nothing in Miami other than a bust.
That's right. That's right.
So, Tannehill, I would put in that category.
But, think about, Randy Moss, that was an absolute mess. did nothing there. Julio Jones, same way, did nothing there. Mm-hmm. Steven Gostkowski damaged his legacy, by going to Tennessee. There's no doubt about it, right? The list is going to go. Robert Woods, I'm sorry. Like, you're coming off of a devastating injury. We know what this is going to be.
What about my Pittsburgh linebacker? He's got to be better, Bud Dupree.
Bud right. Dupree ain't doing nothing.
He's got to be better.
Remember,
he was coming off injury last year. Yeah. He was on a great defense. He was coming off injury last year. Remember, he got the big contract.
Yeah, well, so is Bobby Woods.
He's still got time to be great, John.
Yeah. Okay? I'm just trying to look
or
at
it. Are you counting them all out here?
Yeah, I'm looking at, Titans free agency over the years, buddy, and it is just gross.
Mostly through the draft of their stars, right? I mean, that's where they're getting dudes. They're getting them like the Mississippi State, the linemen. They've got the quarterbacks have all been drafted.
Yeah, like Austin.
McNair was draft, right? That wasn't a free agent.
He was the Oilers, right?
Oh, that's he came over from them, yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't. Steve McNair doesn't count.
None of those. That doesn't count because you're just moving the franchise.
Yeah, like I'm looking at, Austin Hooper, tight end. Oh. He just came over this year. Get ready, bro. Get ready for a hell of a, you're going to have a horrible year.
Right.
You're going to have a horrible year. And you're going to wish that you didn't go.
They like that receiver from Arkansas, though. Let's see, another draft.
That's all right, though. If you get drafted by the Titans, you can survive.
It's just this free agent.
It's just when you make that choice to go on your own volition, on your own free will, it's like a curse. The franchise is hexed.
They got a chance. Like I said, Bud Dupree still got a chance. Woods, who you didn't mention, still got a chance.
I mentioned Woods. I mean, he's coming off a devastating injury.
Mm-hmm.
So again, where are we going with this here? I would not recommend it as a free agency destination. It's like voodoo, man. Devin Hester also was returner special teamer.
Hey. Thank you very much.
And I know his numbers are probably better, but like Dante Hall,
bro, stop.
Dante Hall, bro. Dante Hall was electrifying.
Not more so than Devin Hester.
Man, Hester was a stud.
He wasn't, but man, Dante Hall deserved more love than he got in this article.
I'm talking about he got no love, didn't he?
He got none.
Not a vote.
That's what I'm saying.
Not above Deion, not above Gale Sayers, not above Brian Mitchell, Matthew Slater, Steve Tasker.
Yeah.
Steve Tasker made this list. Three votes
In 2003, Dante Hall had
returned special teamer.
Dante Hall had four touchdowns receiving punts and kicks. That's pretty good.
Devin Hester, I wish he'd have played longer. He's still only 39 right now. He played in 2016 for the Seattle Seahawks, but he only played for 7 years with the Bears. I just remember wanting to see more of that kid. You never got enough of him. He was so good.
The problem was he couldn't run routes, or else we would have had him on the field more. He was a DB in Miami, and basically had just been that.
Yeah.
Wanted to make him this dynamic player on offense. Yeah. That never happened.
How does Matthew Slater, who never does anything, get three votes and Dante Hall gets none? I mean, again, the record is six in a year. Dante Hall had four in 2003, and he had three in 2002, and he had 2 and 0-4. I mean, Dante Hall used to be that dude, man.
It was short-lived.
It was only 3 years, you know.
What's the problem?
The thing that I couldn't really ever reconcile was how you could be such a dynamic kick returner and punt returner, and that was true of Dante Hall too, not just Devin Hester. Like, but you can't do anything as a receiver on the offensive side of the ball. That was always the puzzle I couldn't crack.
Yeah. Well, it's different. I mean, you're having to get off a DB in a lot of cases. You're having to get open as opposed to you've got all the field back there a lot of times, and you're blocking setting up in front of you.
Yep.
Not to mention you got another playbook, the running the routes. It's a different game, and for Hester, he just wasn't built for that. Again, didn't even come up a receiver, came up a DB.
Right.
So, you know, it's different, separate case to case, but you're right. I mean, a lot of those guys could not do it. They could do the one thing.
Yep.
But in a lot of that, John, in space.
Yep.
And that's the thing.
You got a DB pressed up on you, it's a different story.
I think that's why drafting dudes like Ruggs, and I know he was a receiver, but these fast guys, it's like, it's kind of hit or miss, man. Like, you got to still do some other stuff besides be fast.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, right? Like, there are no kick returners anymore.
No.
They don't exist. Like, the kickoff,
guys.
The kickoff return has been taken out of the game.
Yeah.
Because of, obviously,
safety
the hits.
Rules.
And, yeah. But, like, there is, like, who's a good returner right now? Name one.
Hester was the last one that comes to mind, I think.
Like, brand name.
Yeah. Like, Hester, that was his calling card. Yeah.
You know, Josh Cribbs. Remember him? Mm-hmm. Josh Cribbs with the Browns had a nice little run there, too. Where he was, like, returning kickoffs and punts.
Like, I mean, Cordero's a good returner, but he's no Devin Hester. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have Cordero Patterson, who's been a great special teams guy his whole career. Now he's a wide receiver turn running back, essentially. But he's been a guy that you put back there. But, again, the position's changed now. You don't get a return anymore most of the time.
No, so they're hitting sky balls and all that.
The value of this position is going down.
Josh Cribb in 2009 had 3 kickoff return touchdowns and a punt return for a touchdown. Which is probably about the last time somebody had combined 4.
Maybe so.
I had to guess. 2009?
I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah. So, anyway, that list is all up at ESPN.com.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. My stock been going up like
a crescendo. A bunch of handshakes from the face. Anthony Sane is the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter. He's also the founder of Asylum Media Group. He joins us now. Let me ask you this, Sane. Saw the news where Vernon Maxwell is saying on podcast that he and Hakeem Olajuwon once got in a fight so hot that at halftime the police had to break it up because after Hakeem had slapped Vernon Maxwell out of his chair, Vernon was about to go get a knife and stab it into the Dream's body, basically, rendering him hurt, bleeding, and everything else. Do you believe Vernon Maxwell, who was a noted hothead, when he says that he was about to stab the Dream back in the day, in the 90s? Man,
we got a real bad connection, man. I can barely make out anything you're saying. It's like you said something about Vernon Maxwell and Olajuwon.
Yeah, I guess you didn't see the news. There was the podcast, real quick, to go back through it. Can you hear me now? Is it coming through a little better?
No, it sounds really bad, man.
Okay,
I'll
tell you what. Well, let's try to call him back. Let's try to get a better connection on that story for those that weren't with us coming out today, that Vernon Maxwell, who, oh, by the way, says that John Morant needs to change his attitude on the same podcast with Gilbert Arenas, says that, yes, during a halftime battle, remember he played for the Rockets for 6 years with Hakeem Olajuwon, won a championship, that he got into an argument so heated after Hakeem Olajuwon slapped him out of his chair that he was going to sink a knife into Hakeem at halftime of this game if the police had not drawn their guns on the two of them and stopped the fight. There's your story. Saying, can you hear us now?
Yeah, and I can hear you 100.
Do you remember Vernon Maxwell? Let's start there.
Yes. Little bald head dude, kind of ugly, not Sam Bissell ugly, but Houston Rocket, you know, yeah.
He's basically said two things. He's basically said he would have stabbed Hakeem in this fight they had and that Ja needs to change his attitude. What do you say about both when it comes to Vernon Maxwell?
He said that Ja needs to change his attitude. What Ja got to do with him stabbing Olajuwon?
Well, the context.
Two stories, same podcast.
Yeah, same podcast with Gilbert Arenas. But Vernon basically, you know, this was in response to Ja's comments about being able to cook Michael Jordan.
And okay.
Vernon said, I'm gonna look at the damn cameras and I'm gonna tell you to stop that ish.
Yeah, I don't really knock Ja for what he's saying. These guys who are he's never he never saw Michael Jordan play live, you know what I mean? And to be a great player, you kind of got to have that kind of attitude, that kind of moxie, that kind of confidence. I think, you know, I think Jordan would beat Ja, but I'm not mad at Ja for thinking he could beat him. I mean, that's when Michael Jordan came into the league, I'm sure he thought he could kill Dr. J and everybody else, too, before him. So I don't really knock him for that.
What about what
I don't really know what y'all are talking about as far as the Maxwell and Olajuwon.
Well, that's a side. He told a story where he said he was going to stab Hakeem Olajuwon during a fight in the locker room. What about what Kendrick Perkins said about Ja? That right, and it was different than just on a basketball court or having confidence or saying you could beat Mike. His thing was more of a Ja needs to stop trying to act hood. Where did that come from, and what did you think of the comments?
Well, you know, we've had this conversation, you know, off air before concerning Ja, and it is kind of troubling because, you know, he's got this thing about him, like the things that we are concerned about Ja. Also what make him Ja Morant. It's what makes him marketable. It would make him kind of connect to the city. But me personally, I would like to see him slow down because it can get to be too much, man. It can be really problematic because, you know, Ja is the key to the city. Like, he can change so much in the city, not just as a basketball player, but just the things he can do on the court can just affect the city in so many ways outside of sports. You know what I mean? And with that type of responsibility on him, you don't want anything to happen, anything for him to say or do that can really mess up his reputation or just mess up his potential, man, to be that guy for the city. I wish he would just focus on basketball and not just kind of kill some of the tough stuff. But on the other end, man, that's really a big part of his appeal as well. We said we wanted Allen Iverson, and we've kind of gotten Allen Iverson. You know what I mean? Like, this, the same comparisons that he got as being this guy who is represents the culture like Allen Iverson did back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
We got the same thing in Ja Morant now in the 20s. So, you know, you kind of have to take the good with the bad, but of course I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, though. It's like there is an element of, like, you don't want to ask somebody to, like, not be who they are, but, you know, maybe it's like, you know, Kevin Durant used to get crushed for being on social media all the time. You know, Ja Morant is like, Ja Morant is in those streets too. So is it just like not being as engaged there? Like, is that sort of what that looks like?
Yeah. The number one thing with Ja with me is he just seems to be so quick triggered on Twitter. Like, and that's something that we all have to understand. That's something that I've had to understand in my late 30s, early 40s. You know what I mean? So expecting him to understand him, he was born in the social media era. It's a lot easier said than done. You know what I mean? So I wish that he wouldn't have something to say to. He didn't respond to everybody that says something to him, but right. You wish he wouldn't say anything to anybody because some of the stuff he responds to is just ridiculous, and the way he responds is just, you know, over the top or whatever. I wish he would just kind of leave it alone altogether. Sometimes I wish he would just kind of go to sleep on Twitter and wake up in the morning and then respond to stuff, because it seems like he's responding as soon as he, you know, takes a shower after the game. But, you know,
how much
he's born into that era, though, man. Like, I mean, you know, these guys who are, you know, in their early 20s like that, they were born into social media.
Right.
So it's a really.
So it's on their hand. It's a part of them. I'm with you. It's part of your DNA. But how much of it do you think, too, Sane, is youth,
mm-hmm.
right? And then maybe, you know, a couple of years from now, when he's, what, 24, 25, whatever it is, you don't look at the world in the same way or feel you have to prove it to everybody that comes out of your – that's what I'm saying. How much of it is Ja's DNA that maybe you don't want to mess with so much, or maybe you do a little bit, and how much of it is just youth? You chalk it up to that, and maybe in a couple of years he's a – you know, in terms of picking his battles, right, there are fewer of them. Because weren't we all like that in a way in our youth?
It's kind of, you know, I've had that discussion with people, too, because it's like we write a lot of stuff off that I'm not really saying that Ja's got anything like it's particularly like end-of-the-world type stuff he's doing. But if we're going to nitpick about things about him, you can't just throw the 22-year-old thing on him because everyone that's 22 and younger doesn't give a crap about that type of stuff. Some of that just may just be the way he is. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's another thing, too, that I've had so many discussions about, man. We really don't know anything about any of these dudes. You know what I mean? We know about what they show us. And we don't know if there's something in his past that triggers him like that. If you remember, when we had Grayson Allen here, Everyone had made these assumptions about Grayson Allen and his anger issues and getting two of the guys on the court and just being triggered. And Peter Edmondson, my former co-host, he asked him a very candid question during media day about him, you know, and his problems. And he admitted, look, I've got a problem, bro. Like, I've had a problem with this since I was a kid playing peewee ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, when people say certain things, it triggers me. It stays with me in the entire game and the entire day. And I've had to get counseling. I've had to get therapy. I've had to seek spiritual guidance, you know, to be better about this. And, man, we don't know what Ja might be going through, man. I mean, you know, it's not that big of a deal now, but we see stuff about him that gets kind of cringe. It makes you wonder, like, why does he let people take him there? But at the end of the day, man, like I said, I think he'll figure it out, man. And I think it's, this is, you know, August off-season conversation for sure.
Right.
Because once the ball starts, you know, bouncing and going in the hoop, we won't really think about this as much.
No
but
doubt.
It is something that they'll be concerned about, but I'm confident he'll figure it out, man.
But, you know, it is August off-season conversation, but I also think it's, you know, it is a real conversation because, you know, when's the last time that the Grizzlies had, like, a homegrown dude that they drafted that was a superstar that, you know, we're sort of watching grow up, you know? Like, it just doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't happen. Like, and you know what? I'm sure they had these same conversations in a way when Kobe was in L.A., you know, when MJ was in – the only difference is it's all there for everybody to see on social media, you know? I mean, that is the difference, is that it's playing out sort of way more publicly as opposed to whispers behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. He's one of our – that's another thing, too, we've got to understand, man. Like, Ja is one of ours. Like, he's the city's – I mean, I'm going to call him a kid. I know he's a grown man. I know he's got a child, but you're talking about somebody that's 22 years old.
That's
man.
Right, like, yes.
John's the city's kid. We got to wrap our arms around him. We got to protect him. We got to let him grow. And because we'll look back at some of this stuff he's doing now probably and just kind of laugh at it. I'm sure he will too. But until then, man, we just got to, you know, continue to do what Memphis does, man. We take care of our own and, you know, just continue to be a place that can kind of nurture him, develop him. And it'll be awesome to see him, Jaren, Bane, all those guys when they're, you know, elderly vets in the league, you know.
How about Dylan Brooks saying, what do you think happens with him this year? Signs an extension in space?
I was having a discussion with some of my friends about that this morning in a chat room discussion. A lot of stuff with Dylan last year, I'm willing to move the goalposts a little and just say that it was a lot of him just pressing because he missed so many games. He missed so much time.
Sure.
I think he was trying to prove a lot in a little bit of time. I think in a year where he's got this is a potential contract year for him. We presume he's going to come back healthy. With Jaren possibly being at the beginning of the season, he's probably going to have a much bigger role. And I think especially if he plays more 3-4 as opposed to 3-2 this year or 2-3 or whatever, I think that's going to make him – you're going to really see how good of a defender he is when he's matched up against guys that are, if he's matched up against guys that are taller than him. So I'm just confident, man. I think Dylan is a lot more aware of himself than people like to say or assume. And I think Dylan's going to have a good year this year.
What do you think happens with the contract situation with him? Is it a deal where the Grizzlies are able to get him on an extension beforehand? Do you just run it through? Even if you don't sign him to a contract extension through the year, like Tyus and Kyle, he can walk after this year. What do you think happens with the money?
I think he's a different tier of player than Tyus and Kyle. I think that I don't think they get anything done before the season. It'll be probably just like the last one. I think he'll come out, kill it, and they'll be forced to go ahead and take care of him, at least offer him an extension during the season. Mm-hmm. But then it's on him.
Right.
He might feel like he's got more value if he waits it out. You know what I mean? So I think they'll make an offer to him at some point during the season, just like they did with the last contract, the one he's on now.
We're talking to Anthony Sain, joins us every single week here on the show. Hey, man, it's a little bit off the beaten path, but I do want to ask you, like, what do you make of LIV Golf and the controversy around these, like, Chuck, right? Charles Barkley was involved. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing all these guys make stupid analogies to, you know, joining the, you know, that thing. What do you just make of the organization and the controversy and outrage about guys going over there?
I think all the controversy is stupid. They've got the right to start whatever organization they like to start. They've got the money to fund it, and guys are following the money, man. I'm down for athletes getting as much money as they can. It's golf, man. You know, that you're in there to make money. It's a professional sport, so I don't knock anybody doing it. I think it's kind of fun, man, especially in a sport, in a league I don't really care about. Like, to see it kind of imploding and all that kind of stuff, it's fun. It ain't my league to watch, so.
What about the piece of, like, you know, the issue that people take is that the fact that, you know, it's funded by the Saudis, right? It's funded by, you know, people who may or may not have been directly involved in attacks on America. But the NBA is also in bed with China. And if you want to start, if you want to start looking under, you know,
total hypocrisy, man.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you trace money back far enough, you know, aren't you going to find something every time?
Right. You find there's a lot of wickedness in America, man. I mean, you know, I won't go too deep into that, but we aren't this superhero nation that we pretend to be as well. So we've got our own dirt that's covered and uncovered, man. So I don't knock it at all, man. Go get your money.
Why don't we do this, Saint, since we're asking about sports that you don't play and I don't play either? How come we don't have CJ and your boy Gabe out playing baseball right now? Did you see what Austin Riley just signed for with the Braves? Maybe the richest contract we've ever seen in terms of professional sports for a Memphis area, for a Memphis product. Why do we not have our boys out on the base paths playing some baseball? Tell me that.
Our kids making do it because we're pretty much, you know, working middle-class guys with, you know, I'm divorced and you guys are married, but we're still a two-parent home. Both of us, you know, raise our kids together. Mm-hmm. So we can scrap up enough money to get our kids in these competitive leagues and buy them cleats and gloves bats and all that type of stuff.
But most can't.
Most kids can't, man. Because it's a guy, his name is, his name is Anthony Anderson. He's the founder of Memphis Business Academy. It's a charter school out in Fraser. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you are familiar with him or not, but he's a pastor. And he started a charter school, and one of his big missions, one of his big goals at NBA is he wants his athletic program to be based around their soccer program. And this is a black and brown school in Fraser.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And he says he believes that there's more chances for minority athletes to excel, to get scholarships, to experience a totally different, you know, type of life kicking a soccer ball around as opposed to putting a basketball on the hoop or throwing a football around. Mm-hmm. And that's what that school is, their main focus is soccer over there.
He helps introduce
our kids to soccer and things like that. And, like, I get it, man. But, like, those sports are usually, and soccer is a little bit more, I think soccer is a little bit more budget-friendly as far as things like that go.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, man, if we all played on equal playing field, cool, but it's not really that way all the time.
100%.
Yeah. Hey, Anthony, man, appreciate the Sane, time.
I always love having you,
man,
on, brother.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
Yes, sir. He is Anthony Sane. Joins us every single week here on the show. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, that there is an we've had this conversation before, but there is an accessibility, you know, piece to the baseball conversation.
Yep.
You know,
you gotta have a bat and a glove.
Bat, glove, travel. You know, that's part of the culture for real. Like, if you're going to get serious about it, you got to be able to do that.
Right.
I mean, hell, dude, honestly, even, you know, basketball is like that. AAU travel is crazy. And you're going to be going through this here very soon. If CJ is going to stick with this, your ass about to be toe up from the flow up. Because you're going to be paying for hotels. You're going to be paying for the travel. You're going to be paying for the, you know, all that stuff and the meals out, you know, that 9,
yeah, but
10,
in
11.
In the end, though, all I need is a ball and some shorts. With baseball, I got to have cleats. I got to have a glove. I got to have a bat. I'm with you on that.
You got to have a gym.
Once you,
you
get
know?
To a travel spot. Yeah, but you can have something in the backyard. No, technically, you're not going to become, you know, Michael Jordan from your backyard.
Right.
But in terms of starting,
yeah,
I can't just put CJ in the backyard with a bat and say, okay, now go be a great base, you know, go mm-hmm. develop your skills mm-hmm. to that point.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to it. And that's the point, right? It's the starting. It's the getting into it. When you've got so much you got to do to start in baseball, it's just easier to go, you know, go a basketball route or go and more, you know, it makes more financial sense to go, you know, basketball, football, I guess.
Right.
Golf too, same thing. Expensive. You got to have the clubs, everything else.
You know? Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And,
but
and,
yeah, you're right. Once you get the grassroots level and the traveling, yeah, right. it can all get expensive. But, you, but at the very lowest level, right. still more. You know, baseball just requires.
But I
so
see
much
parents.
More.
I see parents on like you know I have Facebook friends who are parents of these kids that are traveling, and I see them complaining all the time.
Oh yeah.
All the time about how costly it is to go on these because they also get you when you have to buy your way into the game, right? You have to buy admission into the game as a parent of the kid. You know,
well, it's become a business for
right
for folks which I'm like, to have events,
seems
to charge
to
the teams, then to charge the admission.
Right,
they're you know they're
okay.
They're,
I make your money on concessions, fine, but you're charging me to come in and see my own kid play, dude. Do they do that for baseball?
Basketball's that way too.
That's what I'm talking about. Basketball. I don't know if they do it for baseball.
Yeah, baseball is too. $5 a game usually.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. I mean, they're making bank. All the parents are coming.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just you're coming to see your kid play. You know,
I mean, you know it well. You acting so stunned.
It's a business.
How that stuff rolls.
It's a business now. It's big business.
That's where we have come to in this country.
That's why you have to understand. Johnny is better hitting them books than he is hitting that floor.
Yeah, man, it's crazy to me. Crazy.
That's what's going to have to happen. Hit the books,
and we just accept it. You know, we just accept that. You know, 8-year-old AAU is a business.
I could put a plug out there. If you're interested in baseball, GBL in Germantown has, and it's for everyone from the community, not just Germantown, one of the very lowest cost for rec baseball in our area. And they play up until middle school. Eric Hasseltine's son's playing it now. Yep. My son played in it. I think it was $50 to $100 a year. And they have equipment. They have coaches that are – it's a really good program. That's how Jake found the love of baseball. I think some of these people push their kids so much that they don't want to do it anymore, and they quit by the time they're 14 or 15.
My man, Nyrone Hawkins, the former Tiger football player, says Kerry Cobb runs a Memphis Little League baseball out of Whitehaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some organizations.
Bartlett's got an organization that's similar to GBL. Mm-hmm. Whitehaven's got one. I've heard of that one, too. Yep. I mean, they're trying their best to create – an environment where it's not a travel competitive environment, and it's a just trying to get these kids to play Sandlot.
Find out if they got any talent, yeah. skills, or got the love for it.
If you like Sandlot, right, maybe right. you got some skills, then you try to do something mm-hmm. else and you figure that out. But the Sandlot stuff is, you're right, that our kids need to be doing that. You know, get out of the house, go play Sandlot baseball, play basketball, rec basketball. You know, I miss playing in
it
the
did
neighborhoods.
Not, it did not be a a freaking money grab,
right? And that's what that's become. And I think one of the things that parents need to realize, I don't mean to preach, I'm sounding like a preacher here. You need to realize if your kid shouldn't be traveling for baseball at 13 or 14 years old or basketball. If they're 13 or 14, maybe they don't need to be doing that. Maybe they want to play just rec. You know, you don't want to, you got to be careful because the kids, they'll lose the love of the game and they won't be playing for the right reason. They'll be playing for the wrong reasons. You saw it covering preps, I'm sure. You know, mm-hmm. kids, get in that gym, go. And it's like, maybe he doesn't need you to push him to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, push him to do something else.
Let
maybe
the kid
he wants,
decide.
Yeah, let the kid decide if he likes it. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. But I appreciate the conversation. We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Wednesday. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
A lot of companies out there are hiring in Memphis. So many that just applying for a job can be a full-time job because, again, where do you go? Where are you going to fit the best with your skills? More importantly, where are you going to get paid the most? We got the solution for anyone out there looking for work or even looking for a job change or new career. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called Millennium Search.
That's right. They hire for the very best companies in Memphis and the Mid-South have to offer. We can't say the names, but you guys know what we're talking about by now. Shoes and apparel, shipping, medical, tools, healthcare. I think we can put two and two together.
Your better paying job with these best companies all starts at one place. Millennium Search, the incredible team they got over there is going to get to know you, get you in spots best for you. All you got to do is get to the web address.
And it is
jobswiththebest.com.
Hey,
it's jobswiththebest.com.
You or someone you know needs to start earning more immediately. They got you. They have immediate openings in Byhalia, Mississippi for general warehouse positions and forklift operator positions starting between $15 and $18 an hour. Call this number today, 662-985-6690. That's 662-985-6690. Go with the best today. Start earning more tomorrow. A couple of things going on around training camp that we should mention before we get out of here. Calvin Austin and TJ Watt, younger brother of JJ, got into a little spat.
How about that?
I mean, TJ Watt, of course, coming off the single-season sack record, right? Last season has been an absolute beast in the NFL. I don't know how he and Calvin Austin would have crossed paths there, but, you know, Calvin Austin, former walk-on from the University of Memphis, you know, getting face-to-face with T.J. Watt in Steelers training camp. That's pretty damn amazing. That's a hell of a sentence.
Shows you how much heart young Calvin's got.
And I'm sure that earned him some respect inside the locker room,
Multiple players had to jump in to separate the two, according to reports from practice, man.
Wow.
How about that? You're going at it with the reigning defensive player of the year.
I just never...
Calvin Austin, all 5'8 of you.
I never put Calvin Austin on that kind of... I don't know. So T.J. Watt tackled Calvin Austin for a 5-yard loss. That's what happened.
Yeah, he got him in the backfield. I'm looking at it now.
And Calvin Austin, I guess, did not appreciate that. So yeah. Oh, there's video of it too. I mean, you can't see the skirmish or anything, but you can see, you know, how it happened.
T.J. says he blacked out.
That's what T.J. Watt said.
And he says sometimes you black out and you're just trying to have fun. And yeah, there was a little skirmish. He says, "Does he think Austin had fun? Ha, I don't know. Probably not."
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I do think, like, you know, you're definitely feeling, you know, pretty good about that if you're in that locker room. Like, oh, he's 5'8", but like he ain't scared.
What I like is that Calvin Austin is on the field at a time that T.J. Watt still is.
Oh yeah. Now they're gonna use
the point there that he's out there and he's active against ones.
Yeah, I mean,
so in this case, and maybe even TJ's playing with the twos, but the point is you are out there when TJ Watt is. That's an important time. So good stuff for Calvin Austin.
It feels like he could fight his way up to be the number three.
Maybe so, and certainly be a little scat back for you, a little change of pace. Maybe you work him out of the backfield, do a couple of different things with him.
Yeah.
You know, so, if he can't just lock down the three spot.
You got
maybe both.
You got what's the
But again, we're doing this with Mitch Trubisky.
You got Deontay Johnson, you got Chase Claypool.
Who I love Deontay Johnson.
You got Chase Claypool, and then you got, you know, maybe Calvin Austin. I don't know.
Maybe so.
And then around the NFL, there are multiple reports that Joe Flacco is outperforming Zach Wilson in Jets training camp. How about that?
The jest. Just doomed.
I actually thought, like, the Jets could be a sneaky, like, not a good team, not a team that wins, but, like...
Salah was going to turn it around.
Well, they are pretty pesky. You know, they can...
They were competitive.
They'll have their weird games where
they beat y'all or something?
No.
Okay.
That 2 years ago, we had to beat them on a Hail Mary.
That's what it was. It was 2 years ago. I was close.
Yeah. Like, they were...
I knew I wasn't crazy.
And remember, Greg Williams was getting accused of throwing the game because he dialed
exactly
up a zero blitz.
Right. A zero blitz and left it wide open. There didn't make any sense. None.
That is crazy, though. This is the last play of the game. You're winning the game, and all you have to do is not let the Raiders score a touchdown.
Right.
And you dial up a zero blitz.
Yeah, they were clearly Stephen Ross style tanking. That's what they were doing.
I mean, that's pretty nuts. Now look, I don't know where you are on Zach Wilson.
I've always been low on him. In that quarterback, I had him at the bottom of my list. I think you had him a little higher. Always been low on Zach.
Yeah.
Never thought highly of him.
Yeah. So that's an interesting.
You're surprised that by Wilson and his struggles?
No,
far?
I mean
he hasn't like nailed that down now.
Well,
year two.
I've learned my lesson on I've learned my lesson on the quarterback position generally, right? No matter how productive a guy might be at the college level, there's too many different things that go into making him a successful, you know.
Paxton's the one that had to straighten you up.
And there have been
really,
you know,
changed your
like
ways.
A lot of people were sold on Sam Darnold coming out of USC. You know, a lot of people thought.
I will say that I was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you see it, Baker Mayfield, right? You see it, Johnny Manziel. They get to the NFL, and it's just and by the way, there are lots of quarterbacks who we don't ever talk about at the college level that come into the, you know, the NFL, and they are super successful, you know? Like, I don't know what the common denominator there is. I have no clue. But, you know, it's hard. It's just so hard to evaluate that position because there's too much that goes into it that we don't know about.
We should have taken the under on $1,000 on how much I'm going to spend for the crying house.
Oh, good.
Is there some damage, you thinking?
Best Buy hooked up the refrigerator wrong.
Oh, no.
On the water line.
So that thing had water coming out that way. I'm so sorry, Jason.
Yeah.
So that's going to be on Best Buy.
But it's actually good news. Yeah, that's actually good. That's not a pipe behind the wall.
No, that's Best Buy.
That you're going to have to bust out drywall for. That's something you can pin on Best Buy.
Yep.
And it'd be you put the damn thing on right, and
that's
it's
right.
Done. I'm not going behind any drywall or anything like that. So that's actually good news for us, even though, my goodness, you're supposed to know how to hook that thing up when you deliver it, Best Buy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Aren't they the
Total
Geek Squad?
Tech.
The Geek
Supposed
Squad.
To be Total Tech member here.
Well, get that straightened up, brother. Get that straightened up.
Oh, I will.
Thanks to Anthony Tane for joining us on the show today. As always, thanks to Mark Giannotto for being in studio as well. It's going to do it for us. Giannotto and Jeffrey up next on Miss It. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.